This audio seminar is only one part of your Q1 foundational education with Pinnacle Quest International, also known as PQI.
Along with this audio seminar, we recommend logging on to PQI Resource Center, where you'll get information, articles, links, downloads, references, and tools that will assist you in your quest for financial and personal freedom.
Each of the presenters on this audio seminar will have further information for you to access on the PQI Resource Center. Just note which CD and presenter you would like further information on, and then locate the speaker within the Products and Solutions section of the Resource Center.
Also on the PQI Resource Center, you will have access to mainstream resources, government, historical, and legal websites, and more that will enable you to fully research the facts for yourself. This additional material will add to your education and inspire your confidence as you move forward and take the steps necessary to protect yourself, your family, and your assets.
To gain access to the PQI Resource Center, simply follow the instructions found on the welcome letter that came with this audio seminar. You will find the Pinnacle Quest Q1 foundational product to be a comprehensive source of information covering a variety of unique topics.
Through this audio presentation and online resource center, you will be exposed to information that will enlighten and may even shock you.
Finding the truth to be quite different from what you have been led to believe will whet your appetite to dig even further. You will most likely notice as you listen to the audio seminar that you have been cheated, defrauded, and scammed into believing things that are now exposed as outright lies. Chances are, one of the first emotions that you will feel is anger.
You will learn that throughout your history, starting from childhood, you've been defrauded with misinformation.
Yes, you've been victimized by the government, politicians, bureaucrats, and others. Through the Q1 foundational product, both on this audio seminar and on the online resource center, we will expose many of those falsehoods.
No matter what your background or educational level, you will be amazed at the misinformation and disinformation to which you've been exposed.
Lack of knowledge regarding these deceptions is not your fault. In your innocence, you have been accepting their frauds, oppressions, and abuses unnecessarily.
You may be wondering, how is all of this misinformation started? Who is behind this massive fraud and deception? Well, it starts with instruments of government propaganda called public schools.
Their children's educational school days are invaded by politically motivated mandates such as sex education, values classes, death and suicide education, DARE, and various standardized tests. Thus, something that many accept as for the good of our children may appear innocent on the surface, but the government's main purpose for the school system is and always has been to produce submissive, docile workers and consumers, all dependent upon the government.
Public instruction places great emphasis on political benefits and entitlements, rather than on the will and ability to work. It places government at the center of all economic and social problems, and it calls on politicians to solve those.
The fact remains, useful information is available easily and freely in many places outside of the schools, but government schools pretend that what they offer is hard to find, hard to teach, hard to learn, and that only teachers certified and approved by the government can provide it. Well, those are all lies. In fact, only government schools keep young people from learning what they need to or want to know. And those schools, along with the government-approved textbooks that they require, are among the primary sources of misinformation today.
This is not to condemn teachers in any way. Many educators have an earnest desire to help children learn, but they are also victims of the government's intrusion into actual meaningful education. Real educators know that there has never been any relationship between school and what children are interested in learning.
It starts right in the curriculum and books. History books are full of misleading facts and proven outright lies, many of which will be exposed in the foundational education that you have just begun. This misinformation flows from the schools that we trusted to the media.
And unfortunately, people tend to believe whatever they see on TV or whatever they read in the newspaper. They figure that it must be true if it comes from the mouth of Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, or Dan Rather.
Well, it's time for both a reality check and a wake-up call.
On the Resource Center, you'll be invited to view exactly how the media works and who has control over the media. Now, it's up to you to learn how to see past the news shows, dig down deep, go behind the scenes, and learn the truth.
Our goal is not to anger you further, but to empower you.
To let you take back the life that you are meant to live.
to help you lead a life with the knowledge that you are doing your part by educating yourself with the facts and then with the solutions. Knowledge is power. This Q1 foundational product is designed to give you the education to free yourself and to empower you with knowledge and freedom technologies to take back control of your life and to enjoy true personal freedom and prosperity.
We touched briefly on how the media controls and manipulates our thinking. Let us dig a little further into how much control the media actually has over us and where that control comes from. In other words, who controls the media?
Did you ever get the feeling that you aren't getting the whole story when you read a newspaper or listen to the news on radio or television? Anybody who sits strongly on the left or the right side of the ideological spectrum is bound to believe from time to time that the media is biased in the other direction. But a little research reveals that much more is involved than just ideological disagreements.
Of course, we expect the media to be even-handed and objective. That much is a given.
But if they aren't, and if in fact there is strong evidence that what is behind the media's lack of balance is more than just a secret devotion to the Republican society, then we have both a right to know about it and a duty to tell about it.
We expect and believe that we should have an independent media, with most media outlets operating independent of each other, competing against each other to be the first to break a story and to tell it best.
That is the reasonable expectation of a self-governed people. But it has been an elusive dream for a very long time. Someone has well said, in a dictatorship, censorship is used. In a democracy, manipulation.
Today, due to mergers and acquisitions, most media outlets are controlled by only a handful of major corporations. Local, independent, metropolitan newspapers, for example, that once used to give an honest, local perspective to their news coverage, are now mostly owned by Gannett or Knight Ridder, and only about 2% of the American cities now have more than one daily newspaper. The result?
Most newspapers across the country today tell the same stories with the same slant, with only a little local news thrown in for flavor.
The fact that all of the major media are owned and controlled by the same major corporations means that they are all speaking the same thing.
That virtually assures that the public will grant them more credibility than if they heard a story from only one source.
And what qualifies as news anymore is not the kind of information that we need to make important decisions in our lives, unless our most important decisions revolve around what brand we are going to purchase. News outlets are more interested in entertainment now than they are in reporting the news or telling the truth. And the news that they do report is carefully chosen to evoke a desired response from a select targeted audience.
It's interesting to know who pulls the strings on these media-owning corporations. They include men like former CIA Deputy Director Frank Carlucci, later Secretary of Defense under President Bush, now on the board at Westinghouse, parent company to CBS. Andrew Sigler, who sits on the board of directors of Chemical Bank, Bristol Myers, Allied Signal, Chase Manhattan Bank, and NBC. And J.P. Morgan Company CEO Douglas Warner III, who also sits on the board of directors at Anheuser-Busch and GE, parent company to NBC.
The directors of the biggest media corporations are also the directors of the Fortune 1000 corporations. A chart at the PQI Online Resource Center shows that, in fact, the network news is owned by just five major corporations: General Electric, AOL Time Warner, Walt Disney, Viacom, and billionaire Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation.
But it goes deeper. The CEOs of all the television networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, and CNN, of the newswires, AP and Reuters, of the big newspapers, the Washington Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Baltimore Sun, and the Wall Street Journal, as well as of Reader's Digest and Time Warner magazines, are members of the Council on Foreign Relations. That's right. If you're getting your news from the talking heads of Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters, Jim Lehrer, William Buckley, and George Will, you're getting the CFR member slant on everything that's happening, or what they want you to think is happening.
CFR member and founder of the Trilateral Commission, David Rockefeller, said the following to the Bilderbergers in 1991.
We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promise of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supernatural sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries.
Just how do these agents of world control manipulate the media to get us to believe or respond a certain way?
They do it in the same way that the government education system controls what children in those institutions learn by teaching only approved material and by leaving certain facts out of the textbooks they require. Media simply twists the truth or omits what they do not want us to know. And sometimes they outright lie to us.
CBS News producer Richard M. Cohen confirmed that the media executives decide what to tell us and why, stating,
"We are going to impose our agenda on the coverage by dealing with issues and subjects that we choose to deal with."
And former CBS News president Richard Salon said,
"Our job is to give people not what they want, but what we decide they ought to have." And so when the news media, or more particularly the major corporations that own them, don't want us to know about something, they just don't report it. Or they bury it so deep and so far behind what they put up front as the important stuff that it just doesn't get noticed. Or they may say, "Well, it may have happened that way, but it's not really important in the context of the grand scheme of things."
So the American people are never told what happened at Jekyll Island, for example, or what happened to the wealth of Nazi Germany after World War II, or why four jetliners were allowed to fly around for 45 minutes, unchallenged by the U.S. Air Force, until they crashed into highly visible targets.
We just know that it's our patriotic duty to do things like give up our gold, send our sons and daughters off to fight a war against evil empires, and to submit to increased personal scrutiny and public inconveniences in order to live in a more secure homeland. The media manipulate us with words and pictures. Words mean things. They carry overtone values that can lead hearers to believe something very different from what actually is true.
Media professionals are experts at using this to sway people to believe things that actually differ significantly from the truth.
While no journalist can be expected to be totally neutral in his perspective towards everything that he reports, for them to twist words and use labels to change the public perception of the truth is blatantly dishonest and should disqualify them as untrustworthy and unreliable. The most effective propaganda is that which tells a partial truth rather than a total falsehood. Media excel at false packaging, which tells part of the story while leaving out crucial elements or telling only part of the truth in order to lead us to believe the opposite of what actually happened.
Media news consumers would be wise to follow the maxim:
don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see.
Beyond controlling what we see and hear as news, media and those who control it actually impose censorship on us by preventing us from having the free press that would tell us the truth.
Thus, preventing us from being a fully informed electorate is clearly a threat to our principles of self-rule and self-determination. It has been said that indoctrination is the essence of democracy. Propaganda to democracy is like violence to dictatorship. In a more honest context, the control of the media by such a few huge corporations would be seen universally as a conflict of interest.
While perhaps the media cannot tell us what to think, it can control what we have to think about by filtering or limiting the information that is given to us. Thus, the media actually set the national agenda by controlling what we see as important enough to think about, what we buy, who we vote for, and when it's okay to allow government to take from us a large portion of our labor and our property.
And if we look at the context of what we are and are not being told about the happenings surrounding September 11 and most of the armed conflicts of the past centuries, media could well be complicit in the sacrifice of thousands of lives as well. If it were established, for example, that most wars occur after a period of careful conditioning of the people by the media, usually climaxing in a cataclysmic event reported, of course, by the same media, and that a primary cause of wars has been to increase the cash flow to certain industries that produce military hardware, would it change the way that we looked at the media to know that the parent company of one of the major television networks is also one of the leading producers of military supplies?
Where do most Americans get most of their information about the candidates running for office in any national election?
Few of us live next door to a presidential candidate, so we get most of our information about them from what others tell us. And most of that has been conditioned by how the major media portray that candidate. The few remaining independent news outlets have some input, to be sure. But how many Americans take the time to stop and analyze the source of a news story that everybody is talking about?
How often have you heard somebody say, "I can't vote for him because he's unelectable"?
Says who?
Says the media, who have positioned the candidate as being unelectable.
Candidates today know that how they are perceived in the media is the most crucial element in any campaign. They know, for example, that to get any coverage on the news, they have to condense their most important ideas down to 30-second sound bites. We watch in disgust as candidates and politicians obviously play to the cameras, going out of their way for superficial photo ops, and we find something wholesome and genuine about one who seems to go out of his way to do something heroic while off camera. But we fail to note the irony of the fact that the media is presumptively the candidate's most important critic.
And lest anyone get the idea that the media is slanted all towards one political party or the other, a look at the big name players on the boards of the major media corporations, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission reveals the names of leaders of both major parties.
And by the way, you won't get that look through the eyes of big media, who would just assume that we not even know that these groups exist, and certainly not that they are directing who gets elected to what and what information the public receives. George Orwell's Big Brother, as described in his book 1984, is here. Oscar Wilde put it well when he said,
"In America, the president reigns for 4 years, and journalism governs forever and ever."
And Ralph Waldo Emerson said,
"Democracy becomes a government of bullies tempered by editors."
The corporations that rule the news media also rule Hollywood films and television, a somewhat more subtle means of shaping and influencing public opinion. Television programming that is supposed to reflect the popular culture actually influences the popular culture.
It is no accident that concepts and values that would have been repulsive to our society a generation or two ago are now considered acceptable and even normal, largely because of their repeated favorable portrayal in movies and on television.
Is it any surprise as well that the influence of television and movies also tends to direct us towards products and ideas that further enrich the corporations who own the studios?
The news media achieve the same effect when they use unscientific opinion polls to make it appear that a particular idea or belief is what everybody believes, thus justifying and validating that belief.
Nobody wants to be in the outside looking in. We all want to be accepted. So when the media define what is acceptable, what is true, what is believable, they manipulate us into going along. But it's not necessary to succumb to this manipulation.
In fact, if we are to remain free, we must recognize media manipulation for what it is and come to our own independent conclusions about what the truth really is.
We are hoping through the education presented in this course to enlighten you to facts not found in mainstream media.
As you listen to the contributors on this audio seminar, as well as read the information contained on the Resource Center, you will understand why this information has been withheld from and by the mainstream media.
Letting everyone know the truth, the actual facts, and the solutions would take from the government, the corporations, and the political powers the control and manipulation they now have over you. The real education presented through PQI provides knowledge, facts, history, and possible solutions, and it gives you the ability to decide what would be best for you and for your family.
So now, open your mind, enjoy, and become empowered with information that will enhance your life and the lives of people with whom you choose to share this.